Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. Seen any unusual wildlife in your backyard lately? Fact is, the wildlife picture is changing in our neck of the woods. People are used to deer and rabbits and an occasional fox, but add a black bear, a mountain lion, or an armadillo, and the wildlife picture does indeed change. People are spotting these critters, and others with some frequency. What is going on? We'll find out with our guests in this segment. Joining me in studio from the Missouri Department of Conservation are Tom Meister, wildlife damage biologist, and Dan Zarlenga, Metro Media Specialist. Gentlemen, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having us this morning.
Well, the big question is, I think most people in this area are aware that things are changing, that we have a lot of new critters showing themselves. What is going on? Dan, why don't you start?
Well, you know, a lot of these critters that we're seeing here in Missouri actually used to be here in the past, historically. Black bears, for instance, we started seeing more mountain lions lately. And those things, those critters have been here. So this area, this has some good habitat for them. And they're expanding from areas where they do live into our state, or I should say back into our state, because it has such good habitat and good environment for them to live in.
But Tom, part of that environment is us.
Yes.
And they seem to be adapting pretty well to living in very close proximity to us.
They have amazingly are adapted to the urban areas. They get used to people, and that's usually when we start to see the conflicts, when they get desensitized to people and get closer to people, and people get closer to them.
Conflicts? What sort of conflicts are we talking about?
Well, you know, maybe the bear getting in the chicken coop, or bear tearing up the beehives, or you know, bears in the trash and things like that. No direct to people, but to their property.
How close are black bears, for instance, to where we are right now, would you say? Dan, do you know?
Well, I mean, they've been spotted as close as Jefferson County, Franklin County, Warren County, so, you know, just very neighboring counties. I don't believe we spotted any in St. Charles County yet, have we, Tom? Or
there was a track a couple years ago that was questionable, but that's been a while ago. But yes, most recently, Franklin County, we've had several bear sightings. Jefferson County, we had a bear in near Warrenton in May that was one of our research bears that we caught and recollared, just, you know, 10 miles out of town.
Hmm. How about Illinois? I mean, same thing going on in our neighboring state?
You know, I don't stay in tune with them since I work for the Missouri Department of Conservation. Mm-hmm. I do hear, because I'm on the mountain lion response team, I do hear reports of the mountain lions in Illinois, but I don't know much about the bear population in Illinois.
Well, let's talk about mountain lions. I don't know if you saw 60 Minutes last night, but they had a feature on mountain lions out in the Los Angeles area, and there are plenty of them, and they're very much a part of the population out there. And I think that's the mountain lion is probably what frightens people as much as the bear. How much of a threat are they?
You know, we have the department's stance is that we don't really have an established population of mountain lions in the state. That means that we don't have any record of any breeding going on. And so what we have is these males that are searching to establish their new territory. We found through research and DNA analysis that the sources for that are the Black Hills of South Dakota and perhaps Texas as well. These big males are the males. They need a lot of territory, and they follow something like the Missouri River, which is their natural corridor. It's like their highway. There's plenty of water and green space and deer to eat, and so they we find a lot of their sightings are associated to the bigger rivers. And they're just out there looking for their own territory and perhaps a female. What happens is there's no females out this way, and they just keep on looking and getting bumped out of the territories that have already been established by males.
And Dan, how much of a threat is that to the human population? Children, for instance, pets, to leave the human population for a moment.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, there's always the possibility. I mean, as Tom says, we don't appear to have an established breeding population here, so it's not like there's mountain lions everywhere. But the sightings are increasing, and so that does suggest they're more wandering through. And there's always the possibility in the future that could change. We might, you know, have a breeding population possibly down the road. But You know, as far as regards to safety, you know, it's easy to get really worked up about, oh my God, mountain lions are, you know, killers and all that kind of thing. Truth is, humans aren't really on their main thing on their menu. They're mainly interested in deer and creatures like that. And so that's kind of really what they're after. I mean, naturally, there could be some dangers to possibly small pets or things like that. So keeping an awareness of that sort of thing, if you have pets out in kind of more rural areas, to keep an eye on that sort of thing. And, you know, to make sure you don't let them out so much in the dawn and dusk hours unattended, where, you know, predators tend to do their thing more. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's easy to let the blow it out of proportion as far as the danger from mountain lions. Very easy to do that.
What is causing a kind of general migration? I mean, everybody's familiar with the influx of armadillos, for instance, that are coming up from Texas, apparently. What is making that happen? Do we know?
The armadillo thing specifically?
Yeah, let's talk about the armadillo.
Well, you know, it's a little bit of a mystery because theoretically armadillos shouldn't be able to survive very well in Missouri because of our winters.
Yeah.
But for some reason they're seeming to be able to do that and to migrate in. And, you know, I guess a big theory, and Tom might want to talk about this a little bit too, is that our winters just simply in the last few decades have not been as cold as usual, and that gives the armadillos, you know, more of a window in which they can survive because they're not good at surviving in cold weather.
Do you want to add to that, Tom?
Yeah, just the fact that the armadillos, they don't have the capability to store fat like other mammals that hibernate. And so with very little fat reserves and very little food sources during the wintertime, that's why they typically haven't survived in Missouri, because it's just been too cold.
Well, again, I raise the question of climate change.
Well, I mean, that's a very complex issue and
sure,
a very complex question. But
our winters are warmer. That's
but our winters are warmer on an average, and that, you know, could be, you know, so as we're having, I think as I, and I don't remember the number, Tom, but I thought I had heard where it's, if we have more than 7 or 8 days straight of solid frost, that's typically armadillo wouldn't be able to survive too well in that sort of situation. So apparently we're not having those extended days of frost or frozen ground, because they're still able to, they get their food mainly from the ground, you know, bugs and worms and critters like that. So they're obviously able to still get down there and get the food they need by digging. And so the ground can't be as hard as it, you know, and frozen as it may have been in years past. So it does sort of suggest that maybe we have an average warmer winters.
Is there anything wrong with having armadillos in Missouri? I mean, they're passive, I guess, or are they?
Right. No, we consider them not necessarily a nuisance or an invasive species. They're just recolonizing the state. And, you know, they do, like Dan said, they do dig in the ground for worms and things. But that's the only damage folks will see, is maybe their yards tore up or their garden spots tore up. But, you know, if you look at it in a positive spot, they're aerating the soil for us.
Well, you see a lot of them on the highway that need to be cleaned up. For some reason, they seem to be particularly vulnerable to traffic.
Well, I think that that's their behavior, is their instinctive behaviors. Whenever they feel threatened or danger, they jump straight up in the air. And I guess in the wild, that works pretty good to confuse a predator or disorient them or whatever, so they can scurry away. But it doesn't work so well when it's an oncoming car, because they end up right in the grill of the car. And since that's why you see a lot of them by sides of the road.
What other species are coming our way?
Tom? Well, in recent history, you know, we talked about the bears and the armadillo. We have a program where we started about 5 years ago, where we're reintroducing elk into the state, which were part of the natural history in the past. And so elk are new to the state. There's a critter from down south called a nutria. It's kind of like a big beaver with long legs that was first introduced in Louisiana for the fur market. And after a hurricane, they got out and their territory has expanded. We don't have it this far north, but they are in southeast Missouri, and they're part of our trapping season. They're listed as a fur bear that folks can trap now. So that's another species that's relatively new on the landscape.
With regard to the elk, you say we're reintroducing those. We want them?
Yes, actually, we are reintroducing elk. We started a program a few years ago, and it was a 3-year program running where we trapped elk in Kentucky, made an arrangement with the state of Kentucky, and then brought them here to Missouri in the deep Ozarks. We're talking Reynolds, Carter, Shannon County area. We started off in the Peck Ranch Conservation Area, which is a huge conservation area down there that spans those several counties. And we reintroduced them in a three-year period. And we've spent a lot of time grooming that habitat to improve it for elk, and so it would be something that were attractive for them. We underwent an extensive screening program and quarantine program to make sure we weren't bringing any diseases into the state. And then we did what we kind of call a soft release, where we put him in a large pen, let him stay there for a while, and then we just opened the door and let them go out on their own. So we have somewhere between 100 and 150 elk currently at the moment, and we're just kind of letting nature take its course at the moment to see how they reproduce. But elk were indigenous to the state, so we're trying to bring back part of our natural heritage there. Now, it's interesting, I do want to point out, though, that sometimes there's some confusion about reintroduction and things happening naturally. Yes, we did do an elk reintroduction, and we're actively reintroducing them. Bears, mountain lions, things like that, we are not actively reintroducing those. Those are coming to the state on their own. We are not actively bringing in armadillos either. That's totally natural.
Well, you don't need to bring in deer because we've got plenty of deer. And mm-hmm. I guess a lot of people would like to see a much smaller deer population. Is that something that could happen or should happen, Tom?
Through the years, the department, because the population has increased and hunting is the best management tool for them, we've certainly liberalized our seasons, made them longer, made the take increase, offered different ways to harvest the animals. It's not just archery and firearm season anymore. You can use crossbows and attalays and all sorts of different methods, pistols even. And so the hope is by increasing the different methods, increasing the length of the season and the different opportunities that the deer herd in the state can become to a more manageable level.
Are any of these other animals protected in any way? I mean, is the black bear protected? Armadillos, who knows? But
sure, all the animals in the state are protected under our code. The exceptions are hunting seasons, and also what I do as a wildlife damage biologist, I deal with people who are having conflicts with wildlife, and so certain animals can be harvested if they're a nuisance or destroying your property.
Yeah, I think, I don't want to go too far off the track here, but I think of a community like Town and Country here, for instance, which has a deer problem, and efforts there to thin the herd, if you will. It's very controversial, isn't it, to bring weapons out there to deal with these animals?
Well, it is, and when you're talking about an urban environment, it's very tricky. Tom mentions hunting, and that is definitely the best way we have to control a deer herd. A little complicated, though, in an urban area where you a lot of times can't discharge firearms either legally or practically. And there's a lot more space being utilized by people, so it's a little harder to hunt. One of the biggest ways we try to mitigate that, though, is encourage bow hunting in areas. And I know a number of municipalities are picking up on that. Also, then we have, as you mentioned, Town and Country, which has had the sharpshooting program for quite a while. Yeah. And it has to be stressed that the company that they are using to do this is actually highly trained in dealing with managing deer in urban areas, and so they're doing it in a very controlled fashion. And they do usually use baited sites, and they shoot from elevated platforms, and they have very strict protocols as to how they do what they do, and then all the meat. The resulting meat is donated to our Share of the Harvest program, which helps the needy.
We have a question here that one of our listeners has either tweeted or emailed to us. Should campers in Missouri be doing anything different? For example, should they have a bear box? I'm not sure what a bear box is, but I mean, with mountain lions out there and black bears, is this something campers should be aware of, and how do they deal with it?
Absolutely. That's a great question, and we appreciate that. Anytime that folks are out in the woods, whether it's bear or mountain lions or whatever they may be concerned with, is just an awareness. And so with things like black bear, we know that they're attracted to human food and human scent. And so we do advise, if you're camping in bear country, to store your stuff in a bear-proof box, hang your food in the trees, store your stuff out, not in your tent, but in your car or somewhere away from where you're camping. And so, especially if you're in that bear country, it's best if you have that awareness. You know, most of the incidences that are happening in other states with bear out west are campers who've got food in their tent and basically are inviting them in.
In the 60 Minutes piece last night on mountain lions, they suggested that you could actually scare mountain lions away by kind of moving your arms up and down and making a little bit of noise, and they'll scatter. Does that sound reasonable?
Yes, very reasonable for both those animals, because most of those things, when we have a conflict or incident with humans, it's a surprise thing. It's not like the bear or the mountain lion is stalking people. It's just that those animals are surprised in some way. And so if you can make yourself appear bigger, if you just are making noise when you're out on the trail, hey, bear, I'm here, they're aware, and they don't want to have any kind of incident with you. They're going to stay away. And so, yes, a mountain lion would take off. They don't want to deal with a person most of the time.
I don't know how much bigger I can make myself when I'm running away, but hopefully won't have to deal with that. We have a caller who wants to get into the conversation.
Great.
Let's bring in Jay, who is calling from Afton. Jay, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Really neat to have these predator species coming back. I think it's great. Hopefully the hunters will leave them alone. How about specifically any bear north of the Missouri River? I might have missed a little of your show. And two, any wolves coming into Missouri, like lone wolves. And thirdly, climate change is happening. I don't know why you guys were a little reluctant on that to acknowledge. Thanks.
Thanks, Jay. Go ahead.
Sure. With the bear question, the one that I caught in Warren, near Warrenton in May, that was that bear swam across the Missouri River, and so not a whole lot of stuff going on in northern Missouri. The bear like deep, thick woods with lots of cover and lots of area, and as you well know, northern Missouri is mostly crops and farming, and so there's not a whole lot of good habitat for bears in that side of the state. Yeah. The other question was?
He was talking about wolves.
Oh, wolves. Okay, yeah. I've been working with the Endangered Wolf Center in St. Louis about educating the public about wolves in the state. We have had, over the last 5 years, we have had four timber wolves that were killed in the state mistakenly for coyotes. And so we do have an occasional one that are visiting our state. One in the Kirksville area about 5 or 6 years ago was shot in a chicken coop thinking it was a coyote, and it had a collar on it and had traveled all the way down from the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. And so, yes, we are seeing a few wolves, not a whole lot.
How do you tell the difference between a wolf and a coyote? I know there are plenty of coyotes around and not too far from where we are here.
Sure. Typically a coyote is going to be 20 to 50 pounds, and a timber wolf is going to be much larger. Their facial features, their snout is not as long, their ears are a different shape, and so there are some differences, but I'll be honest with you, with these coyotes that were shot mistakenly for wolf, they were big coyotes.
Really?
Yeah.
Just a little time left, Em, let me turn to you. What kind of work are you doing with the St. Louis Zoo? I understand you've got a collaborative thing going.
Sure. Well, we've got actually a couple different programs with the zoo and talking about new animals, or I should say animals that are making a comeback. One of them is the hellbender. It's Ozark hellbender. It's kind of a lot of people consider unattractive looking salamander, but it's a pretty cool salamander. We've been working with the St. Louis Zoo to breed and reintroduce them back into the Ozarks. And then another critter is actually an insect called the American burying beetle. And again, working with the St. Louis Zoo, they are breeding the beetles at the zoo, at the insectarium there. And then we are replanting the back of Wakanta Prairie, which is in the southwest portion of the state, to try to get them established again.
So how do you work with the zoo in doing that?
Well, as far as the beetles are concerned, as I mentioned, they're doing the breeding there, the beetles.
They do, okay.
And they're doing the breeding. So then Wakanta Prairie is kind of co-owned and managed with us and the Nature Conservancy. So we are planting basically by digging holes into the ground, since they're a subterranean critter. And they feed on dead things, actually. So you dig a hole, put a dead quail in there, pen-raised quail, to get them going. introduce a mated pair and let them do their thing and hope they'll get established again.
We're going to have to leave it at that, gentlemen. Thanks so much for bringing us up to speed on all of this. Tom Meister and Dan Zarlenga of the Missouri Department of Conservation. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Folks will now know what they're seeing in their backyards a little more clearly, I think. Thank you. Archive versions of past St. Louis On the Air programs available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. St. Louis On the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio 90.7 KWMU. Thank you for listening. I'm Don Marsh.